Our scripture reading is 2 Samuel chapter 7, 11 through 16. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, First Lebanon. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Pastor Andrew Sanders, and it is exciting to be able to join you from this pulpit once again. We'll be able to join with you a couple times before our departure in June ourselves. So Julie and I have been assigned to pulpits ourselves, so we are looking forward to moving up to the Lexington area come June. And so we're excited to be moving forward, but also saddened to say goodbye to you folks here in Lebanon. So you may be surprised to know this, but I had never met Pastor Jim before I started attending church here. Over the last few months, I've gotten to know your pastor quite well. Now, I'm glad to have gotten to know him and now call him a friend as I journey on in my faith. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that you have a really good pastor here in Pastor Jim. And I hope that you recognize that and hold on tight to him as you move forward. And I'm sure that each one of you know this by now. So now getting to the sermon. Over the last few weeks, Pastor Jim has been talking about various resurrection events, from the resurrection of Jesus to the resurrection of other individuals' lives. Pastor Jim has also talked about resurrection through different circumstances in life, such as a broken relationship and surrounding oneself with individuals like Jesus would do with Peter, James, and John. So today, in keeping with the resurrection theme, I'm going to compare two kingdoms, or better yet, the persons accredited to building these kingdoms. We will then compare those kingdoms to ourselves, understanding better how to create resurrection accounts of our very own hearts. So the first kingdom story that I would like to look at this morning is about a man who would have been considered a ruler or a king over various kingdoms or territories. The man we're going to be looking at is Nimrod, the first great man in the Bible. Now, I think to do it justice, we need to read it together. So let's read Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 12 together. Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 12 together. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, it's also on the screen. Cush became the father of Nimrod. He was the first on earth to become a mighty warrior. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, and Akkad, all of them in the land of Shinar. From that land, he went on to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboam, and Calah, and Resen, between Nineveh and Calah, that is the great city. So when I first read through this Bible scripture for myself, I came across and I saw that it said that that Nimrod was named the first mighty warrior or the first great man in some of the Bible translations that we have. And so I don't know about you guys, but it piqued my interest. I'm like, well, what makes a man so great that he is declared great within the Bible? So there's two questions that came to mind. The first off was, what made him so great? And the second leads me to question two, is if the man Nimrod was so great, then why is all I know about his name to mean is something along the lines of dummy, brainless, or nincompoop? I think that's two valid questions, right? Okay, so to answer question one, not only is Nimrod accredited with building numerous territories and kingdoms in the Old Testament, but he's also credited building something that I bet many of us have heard stories on over and over again through our Bible careers in church. And some of us may not have heard this story since we were in Sunday school as kids, but the Tower of Babel. So Nimrod is accredited to being in charge of the people of Babel. So these are Nimrod's tribe, and they decide to build a tower into the heavens. Now, if we want to look at this, this scripture is Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, but I'm just going to paraphrase it here. So when it says the Tower of Babel reached into the heavens, I believe what it meant was anything above the earth was reaching into the heavens at that time. So anything above ground is reaching into the heavens, and this tower was meant to be taller than any other landmark that would be around it, anything man-made or God-made. This was meant to be a statement to the known world that there was no stopping the kingdom of Nimrod. There was no one greater, no man or no God. Are you picking up the theme now of the first great man? Not really meaning what we think the first great man was. So Nimrod was the first great man in his own eyes. Now, ouch. That changes the meaning of the first great man statement, doesn't it? The first great man to remove a nation's heart away from God and place it squarely upon human beings. Now, I wonder if that is why in today's culture we hear the name Nimrod used synonymously with being a fool. So the contrast to the kingdom, or the opposite of Nimrod's kingdom, would be a kingdom that was ruled by King David. Many of us are probably way familiar with King David, much more than we are with Nimrod, the first great man. Now, I will give a quick rundown of the reason why we are looking at David's life today. It is David's heart that we're actually looking at. If we follow David's life from a shepherd boy, we see him grow up to slay a giant within the Philistine army that was defeating Israel. And because of David, the war with the Philistines, it ended. David eventually, he became a king. During his time as king, he established the rule of God and declared Israel to once again be God's people. Through David's faithfulness, God reestablishes his covenant with his people. So was David perfect? By no means. David coveted, he committed adultery, he murdered, he doubted, and the list could go on and on and on. The point is that David was a flawed, broken human being, just like you and I, and yet God did something huge through him. God brought forth a resurrection. For the resurrection of Jesus to happen, King David first had to have a resurrection of the heart. I believe that the difference between the kingdom of Nimrod and the kingdom of David is that difference of the resurrection of the heart. So David's story ends with David becoming aware of his sins against God, the way that he treated his fellow human beings as being unjust, and the need to follow the Spirit that God has placed within him. All throughout his life, David is attributed to pouring his heart out through Psalms to God. In fact, our call to worship this morning was one of the letters David poured his heart out to God in thankfulness for all that God had given him. David in Psalm 139 sung about God's omnipresence, how God is in everything and through everything and everywhere all at once. One could probably sum up David's relationship with God through the phrase, "To God be the glory." One could probably sum up Nimrod's relationship with God through the phrase, "To Nimrod be the glory." What a foolish thing to do, to take the glory from God and place it on self. What a Nimrod, right? So what does this have to do with us? Well, to answer this, I'll tell you an analogy that I came up with the other day. Julie and I, my wife and I, have been fixing a house that we bought up and renovated in December. The house is about 90% done, and we bought the house in an investment to add to our kingdom portfolio. And what I mean is our personal kingdom portfolio. The way I look at it is this: each of us are building our own personal kingdoms here on earth. I'm sure that for the most part, we try to build our kingdoms with God, with integrity, with love, with hope, with joy, and all the fundamental things that are needed to have lasting kingdoms. So what is it that we need to have a lasting kingdom? Well, if we put our trust in things, it won't last very long. We bought our house to flip, meaning that we are fixing it up to resell it. And the last 2 months, I switched from working on the inside to working on the outside of the house and getting some plants in the ground. Well, I planted a couple trees, and I came to the realization the other day that some of those trees, depending on the care that future homeowners have with that house, some of those trees, they stem a good chance of possibly outlasting the house. Now, I'm not saying that our house is junk by any means. What I'm saying is that it is a man-made object. It means that it requires constant care to keep up with, or it begins to fall down or deteriorate. If I've learned anything about humanity, we don't do well at caring for things, especially the upkeep. Fortunately for us, though, what God forms with his hands lasts much longer than what we form with our own hands. Now, I could become consumed with the thoughts of my belongings in a constant form of decay, as all of us can. We each have opportunities every day to hold tight under our own doings or to live in the idea of God's grace. Now, I think that's the big difference of Nimrod and of David, is that David trusted that God had him covered by God's grace. We as United Methodists believe that we are covered by grace as well. We believe that God is with us from the very first breath that he gives us, the very first heartbeat that we have, when our very first molecules come together with other molecules until our final breath is taken and we go on to eternity. This idea is a prevenient grace, or before grace, that is grace that God offers to all of humankind. This grace is God wooing us or calling us toward him long before we're ever aware that God is even there present in our lives. In kingdom building, in this kingdom building stage, this is when we would be about ourselves, building our own kingdoms, making our connections all by ourselves, and feeling like we are building everything we have with our own two hands. That self phase can last a short time, or it can last a lifetime. Then most of us can come to a place where we are aware of our kingdoms. For it to be here in the first place, there had to be something greater than ourselves for it to be created. We became aware there had to be a divine creator. In this stage of our lives, we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. This is known as justifying grace, where we finally justify the grace that has been offered to us all along, all throughout our lives. During this time, we surround ourselves with others that strengthen the spirit within us. We recognize that if God's spirit is driving us, if he's the creator of all things, then everything that we do is for him. And therefore, all things are his. And therefore, to God be the glory. A Christian then spends the rest of their lives living into God's grace, which shows us how to become more Christ-like. In sanctifying grace, the third and final stage, we strive on towards perfection. There are those, however, that choose to say that all things were done by the power of their own personal hands. These people, if given the power, will lead nations away from God. Some would say they are Nimrods. To them be the glory. But as we know, as we continue to build our kingdoms, we have the chance to live into God's grace, or to live into our own grace on a daily basis. So I praise that as we choose not to be like Nimrod, living for self and leading others to do the same. But instead, I pray that we live for God as David did, a man who was thought to have a heart like God's own heart. So, let's go forth today knowing that we have a choice to either live into this kingdom building idea, to build it for ourselves, or to live into the grace of God and to continue building this kingdom for God and share it with those that surround us. Amen.